It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks, and thanks a lot for tuning in. If you like hunting and fishing, I think you're going to enjoy the next 15 minutes. Now, the first portion of our show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. And Brute Outdoors, home of the Brute Box Cooler. This website is bruteoutdoors.com. The phone number is 855-BRUTE-55. Folks, today, I tell you what, I'm going to introduce you to a sure enough West Texas outfitter and rancher that's made his living off the land all of his life. He's written a book that I am hugely impressed with. The name of the book is Characters and Critters: Hilarious Tales of a West Texas Rancher and Outfitter, Skipper Duncan. Skipper, thank you a lot, buddy, for spending some time with us on the show this morning.
Well, dadgum it, I appreciate the phone call. It's nice to meet you over the phone, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person one of these days.
Yep, I think I'm going to get down there with you and see if I can round up one of them old gobblers with my bow this spring. But I really want us to talk about the book. I think a lot of people will enjoy this book, Characters and Critters. I mean, the premise of the book, Skipper, where you got the fodder for the book is living as a rancher and in an outfitter for a bunch of years, and the people and the events and things that happened in your life on the ranch. I mean, there are so many interesting, it's a kind of a conglomerate of tales, really, isn't it?
Well, that's what it is. You know, some people collect guns or arrowheads, this and that. About all I've ever been able to accumulate is a string of tales. And you know, something has to happen for me to think of one of them, but there's just oodles and noodles of tales that are entertaining, that are funny, that's kind of built to a punchline. And so that's what the book's about. It's just a whole bunch of tales I've collected. And for the people that have read it, I begin to get a lot of feedback now. They just really, really encourage it. People were buy a book before Christmas and they'd read it, and they'd go buy 10 more to give to their friends, you know, for Christmas presents. I told them I thought they were making a mistake. That friend would really rather have a bottle of whiskey like you always got, but now he has to get that doggone book.
Get old Skipper's book. Well, I tell you, I'm a pretty fast reader, and my wife kids me a lot, Skipper, that why don't you read something other than outdoor stuff? Well, the truth of the matter is, that's kind of my Luke's life. That's the way I've always been geared up. And I started reading your book. I read it for about 2.5 hours with nonstop, and I can read fairly fast. The tales, there was one tale in your book that you were talking, this old boy that was stealing eggs from another one. He was going in the hen yard and stealing these eggs. How did that unfold? Then the guy that,
Those were my neighbors, Luke. They were, and you know, what makes the story interesting is the character of both people. One of them is this Sam Kelly guy was just a legendary skinflint around town. He was the most miserly person you ever met. Everybody knew he was. And he had this neighbor that was named Herbert Horice that was everybody loved. He is the most generous, kind, wonderful man. And there this old skinflint, Sam, was stealing his eggs when Herbert would go off to work. And Herbert knew he was stealing those eggs. But he didn't have the heart to confront him directly like most people would and say, hey, dadgum, quit stealing my eggs. So he had to come up with a scheme that would make Sam quit stealing the eggs on his own. So that's the story.
Well, we won't tell the whole story, but I would admonish anybody that likes a book with a bunch of good tales in it to read it, and that's one of the stories that's in there. And then another one that I really enjoyed, or it kind of touched me, I related to it, was about the pet deer, and it had to do with maybe one year when you made a decision to turn your ranch over to a company instead of keeping control of it. And I bet you a lot of our listeners that own ranch land and all, they know what it's like once you put your heart and soul into a piece of land and the wildlife on it, you know, that's yours. And then it would be a tough call to turn it over to a group that may not take care of it, you know, just like you did. But the pet deer there, Melissa, I think was the deer's name.
Yeah, Melissa, that was her.
Yeah, you had some problems along that.
Well, one of those hunters shot her, you know, and dead gump, that was just my worst nightmare. I had a orange collar on her and everything. We'd raised her from a baby, and she was a, you know, just an institution around the ranch. She'd been there forever, raised a couple of fawns every year, brought them up to the house. She, not her fawns, but she would come up and eat out of your hand, and everybody just loved Melissa. And then when I finally succumbed to the economic pressures to get in the hunting business, I was just had a horror that something might happen to Melissa, and sure enough it did. She got shot, and I found her in a field, and she was shot kind of right behind the shoulder, and the bullet went forward on that same side to take the top off of her shoulder blade and come out on the side of her neck. Had it have gone across her body and probably broken her spine or something, well, it would have killed her, but she was just in terrible distress. And I called a veterinarian friend of mine, and he rushed out, and he brought an assistant who was a medical doctor. And the theme of the story was that, yeah, you know, I didn't mind that vet working on my deer, but what in the world does a medical doctor know about working on a deer? So I was so uneasy, and I was so upset about my pet deer getting shot. And here's this questionable medical doctor working on my deer. So that's the theme of that story, and then how I just got egg all over my face from that medical doctor. But okay.
Yeah, well, the truth is, though, that story, as I remember there, it had a happy ending. So
yeah. She finally survived and lived a whole nother year. We finally just quit seeing her. She was about 10 or 11 years old.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, you bet. Folks, we're visiting with Mr. Skipper Duncan. Now, Skipper has written a book that I think is no less than awesome. It's called Characters and Critters, and it's hilarious tales from a West Texas rancher and outfitter. Skipper runs some free-ranging deer hunts on his ranch out there. And, Skipper, you're located not too far from San Angelo out there.
No, we're just west of town, just a little bit out of town. Now, about that book, Luke, if anybody wanted to read it, you can get it on Amazon, of all things, either a printed version or the Kindle. You just get on there and do a search for Characters and Critters, or I think you can do a search for my name, Skipper Duncan, and it'll bring up that book, and then it can be yours. $19.95 on Amazon. I think the Kindle version is $9.95.
Well, it's an awesome book. I think a lot of people will enjoy reading it. I know that it's the kind of easy reading that I enjoy. You know what? Let's do, Skipper. Let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk some spring turkey hunting here. Now you've been offering spring turkey hunts on your ranch out there for a long time, haven't you?
Long time. I'm not a turkey hunter, but I've been around so many turkey hunters that I can talk the talk, even though I don't walk the walk. But I'll tell you what, turkey hunters are my favorites of all. What's interesting about turkey hunting, Luke, is that there's not many Texans or into the classic style of turkey hunting. Most of the sure enough true old-time turkey hunters come from east of Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia.
You bet.
And, you know, the few Texans I know that hunt turkeys, they hunt them with a rifle and shoot them under a corn feeder or something. But that's not the sport. The sport's calling them up, you know, with those calls. And those turkey hunters, I've been around lots of sportsmen that are dedicated to whatever it is that they do, from golfers to team ropers to whatever. And I ain't never been around anybody like a turkey hunter. They're the most avid people I have ever been around.
You're not kidding. Well, you know, Skipper, one of my very best friends in this world is Bob Hood. Bob's an outdoors writer, and he was the outdoor editor for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Many of our listeners up here in Northeast Texas have read Bob through the years, and Bob still writes a couple of columns a month, I think, for the Fort Worth paper, and freelances for several outdoor magazines. Bob and I hunt turkey. We have for a long time. We make a couple of turkey hunts a year, hands down. And I've done articles and hunted with some of what I think is as good a turkey hunters as you can get. Bob has forgot more about turkey hunting than most anybody I've ever known. We just, there's no two turkey hunts unfold the same. Impossible for it to happen. Everyone is just, the idea, the way you go about it is the same, but turkeys are just kind of squirrely birds, for lack of a better description. And they can throw you some curves, but I look forward to getting down to your place is called
Adobe Lodge.
Yes, sir. I've heard of you for many years down there, Skipper. Adobe Lodge. Well, there's going to be some serious turkey hunters to converge down there. I'll guarantee you that. And and that part of the world, I've hunted down in there quite a bit. There are more turkey, Skipper, in many places down there than any place I've ever been, you know?
Well, out west of San Angelo, you know, San Angelo came to be because there are several rivers came together right here, uh-huh. All the Concho rivers. So a river bottom is a great habitat for turkeys in the wintertime. They just...
That's where they are.
Noodles of turkeys, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we hunt on numerous river bottoms out west of San Angelo, but this is going to be a difficult year, Luke, simply because 2011 was the drought year, the year with all the fires and all that, and those hens went on strike, and they never did have they never did even try to lay their eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no turkeys hatched in 2011. Therefore, this year there's not going to be any two-year-old gobblers. The mm-hmm. two-year-old gobblers already have a long beard.
Yep.
And that's the ones that are the easiest to call. I've heard it said that a two-year-old gobbler will make a turkey caller out of anybody.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's going to be, you know, a fair number of jakes, and there's going to be the holdover three-year-olds from last year. We had a big, big crop of two-year-olds last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the three-year-olds are more problematic on calling. They just don't. They're more older. They're more wary. Just like anything, you know. So it's going to be a tough season in that regard. But they're sure enough, honest to goodness, turkey hunters. They enjoy that kind of a challenge. That interplay between knowing when to call, knowing how much to call, knowing when to be quiet, knowing when to move, when not to move, when to sit there another 30 minutes, and it's a scientific big, big deal. And I met at Bob Hood last year. I never met him. He came out to hunt. And you're right, boy, he is a turkey hunting good. He's really good at it. I can tell just by talking to him.
He's good. Skipper, we are just about run our course for our show today. Folks, our guest has been Mr. Skipper Duncan. And the book that he wrote is Characters and Critters. And, Skipper, it's available through Amazon. Excuse me. I would like you, though, to people that are up in northeast Texas, you know, we have a scattering of eastern turkey up in the northeast counties, Red River, Lamar, up in there. There's a healthy population of eastern turkey that's been introduced 20-something years ago, but no Rios to speak of. People that are looking for a place to go down and hunt or talk turkey, I'd like you to give the website where they could go in there and look at the pictures and see about your real turkeys down there.
Well, our website is adobelodge.com, www.adobelodge.com. And there's tons and tons of information on that website.
Oh, I've been there, adobelodge.com. Well, Skipper, we'll get you back again, and maybe I can get you on the radio shows and give us some turkey hunting updates as we get closer to the season. Could you do that?
You bet, yeah. Just call me anytime.
Folks, that was our guest was Skipper Duncan. Now, this show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org, and it's made possible by Brute Outdoors. That's home of the Brute Box Cooler. The website there is bruteoutdoors.com. I want you to tune in next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.